the teachings of Mumpudun, who is one of Ajahn Mun's students. This is definition of the Four Noble Truths. The cause of suffering, he says, is sending the mind out, sending your attention, sending your awareness outside. And suffering is what results from that. The path, he says, is having the mind watch the mind, having the mind see the mind. And the end of suffering is what results from that. So it's the movement that makes us suffer. And just having the mind stay right at the mind, having it stay still right at the mind, that's the path. So where's the discernment in that stillness? It's in seeing the motions and letting them stop. Ajahn Mun himself once said that a state of totally no motion at all, that's the end of suffering, that's the end of the world, the normal world of our experience. And John Doon talks about the same thing, Mumpudun talks about the same thing. There's no motion of the mind. But if you look at our own minds, they're going all over the place. What we're doing as we're practicing is learning to get a standpoint where we can be more and more still, or at least part of our awareness can be more still. So that it can see the motions of the other parts. And the more still you are, the more you can see them from the very beginning to the very end. See what starts them, see how they continue, and see what they lead to. That's the discernment we're after. As soon as you see the whole picture, the whole trajectory, and you see the suffering that comes from those motions of the mind, and you also see that you are implicated in them. There's an element of intention that was a choice. You could follow that motion or you could choose not to. And if it's going to cause suffering, why choose to follow the motion? That's the nature of insight. Once you see that, you drop it. And you can think of the practice as a process of getting progressively more and more still for longer periods of time, and then using that stillness to see more and more refined movements. Because if you're moving around a lot, you can't tell when something else is moving. Things that look perfectly still to you may not actually be still. It's like standing under the hummingbird feeder over there. The hummingbirds are zipping around all the time. And if you just stand there, after a while, they assume that you're this big rock or this big solid thing that doesn't move at all, because they're moving a lot faster. It's only when you make a sudden movement that they pick up on the fact that you're there and that you're a threat, and they fly away. So this is why it's so important to get the mind to be as still as possible, because the more still it is, the more you can see. Now, there are people who will get the mind very still and just kind of curl up in that stillness and not use it to any purpose. But that's not what the Buddha taught. You get the mind still and you want to be aware all around. This is why Ajahn Lee, when he defines alertness, talks about it's going back and forth. You look at, say, your breath. And then you turn around and look at the mind. You're alert to both, to see how they're connected. And to be aware of any movement where the mind pulls away. It's that all-around kind of awareness that you want. Because many times, especially as the mind gets really, really still, nothing seems to be going on in the mind. But there's still a kind of commentary, just the commentary that says space, space, or knowing, knowing, or nothing, nothing. That's a movement of the mind. And you've got to turn around and look at that and say, oh, there's this movement here. Everything else seemed to be still. I thought everything was nice and still, but there's still this happening. It's seeing both sides, seeing whatever movements of thought or feeling or perception are going on. And also the part of the mind that seems to be humming along with it or following along with it, commenting on it. You can see the first kind of thing arising and passing away. And that is an important element of insight. But the other element is seeing the part that's commenting on all of this. Once there was someone from Singapore who wrote a letter to a John Fung describing his practice, which was to learn how to see everything in terms of the three characteristics. When he was at work, when he was watching TV, he just kept noting to himself, oh, this is impermanent, stressful, not self, whatever. And John Fung's advice to him was, well, turn around and see who's doing the commenting. Because he said the problem lies there. It's not in the inconstancy of TV shows or the stress of your work. It's the inconstancy of this commentator. Because once the commentator passes judgment on something, okay, then some intentions arise. And the intentions are what keeps everything going. And until you see that, then there's no real true letting go. Letting go isn't total. It's only when the letting go is total that you open up to something totally different that has no motions. Because it's the motions of the mind that keep the whole process going. It's kind of like the weaver. It keeps weaving your experience of space and time. And it can weave it with craving, and it can weave it with perceptions and feelings and all these other things, but it's that element of intention and attention. That's what keeps it all going. And until you can see those things moving, nothing really disbands. Once your stillness is still enough and your awareness is all around enough, to the point where you catch even the slightest movement anywhere in the mind, that's when things open up. So the practice of stillness is not simply something you do waiting for discernment to come later on. There'll be things you discern. Sometimes it's kind of discouraging. You try to get the mind even a little bit still and you notice all this movement going on. Well, that's discernment, seeing the movement. Discernment gets more full, though, when you can see the movement from the beginning to the end, to the point where you realize that that particular movement I don't want to get involved in. And when you don't get involved in it, it drops away. And then everything seems still, finally. But then the longer you stay with the stillness, the more you see subtle things that you didn't see before. But it's the same process. Trying to see them from the beginning to the end, arising, staying for a while, and passing away. That's when you can let them go. So the development of concentration is not a waste of time. It provides that observer, or a basis for the observer that allows you to watch your thought processes and begin to say, oh, if I think in this way, it's going to cause suffering. No matter how long I've been thinking this way, no matter how integral a habit it seems to be for me, I always have the choice to drop it once I see that, one, it's arbitrary, and two, it's causing suffering. Arbitrary in the sense that you didn't have to choose to be that way, or think that way, or act that way. This is how concentration and discernment work together. all of what they call the noble dharmas, virtue, concentration, discernment, and release. They're all related in this way. Virtue is a way of stilling your actions. The things you used to do without thinking, suddenly you realize, I can't do that anymore. And you begin to see those actions that you've learned to stop doing and realize they really do cause suffering. You don't have to wait to the next life to see the results. They cause suffering right now. So on down the line to concentration and discernment, it's a matter of getting still as possible in your thoughts, words, and deeds so you can see the motions of the mind. And let go of any that are unnecessary and cause unnecessary suffering. Simply that your idea of what's necessary is going to get more and more refined. The more stable your stillness, the more all around your awareness. So even though the idea of release or deathless may seem very far away from the mind that you're sitting here looking at right now, the processes of the meditation, just trying to get things still, trying to get at least something still in the mind. And then using your alertness to maintain that stillness, using your mindfulness to maintain that stillness. Those are the tools that, as they get more refined, we'll start sorting everything out.